Linda.
Good evening and welcome to Thursday Night Talk. My name is Linda Stansberry, and I am here with three dynamic young entrepreneurs right here in Humboldt County. Before we get started, I just want to throw out a quick thank you to my fellow host, Brenda Starr, who was my pinch hitter last week when I was sick. So thank you again very much, Brenda. I'm just going to introduce each of you in turn, and then we're going to talk a little bit about tonight's subject. So, Nora Mounts, welcome.
Thank you.
A freelance writer and also a intrepid Airbnb host. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Savannah McCarty, you founded your own nonprofit, Wild Souls, right here in Humboldt County, which is also featured in this week's journal. If anyone wants to read the full story, welcome.
Thank you.
And Pedro Lucero, hey buddy, you're getting ready to start your business.
Yes, I am.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Cool. We're on the radio.
Yes, we are. And I think it's really cool. All of us, we're around the same age range. And, you know, speaking as someone who's gone through a few careers myself, like a few different careers, it's really cool to meet people who are moving forward in a new direction in their lives. So tonight we're going to start by talking about taking that plunge, like making that decision to live a life where your passions are your career. And I think maybe to start off, Savannah, you want to tell us a little bit about your story?
Oh man, you put me on the spot. You know, I made the decision pretty early on in life. When I was 24, I really decided to take the plunge with the nonprofit. And that was because I'd come to a point where I didn't have anything to lose. And so when you realize that, you know, it's now or never, and this is something I want to do for the rest of my life, that courage and bravery, it kind of pushes you into motion to get things started. And do you want me to go into the whole story, or?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Let's see. In 2012, I was relatively new to Humboldt, and I had a past of working with horses as a former at-risk youth, and I decided that that was something that I wanted to do for other youth that were hurting in similar ways that I did as a child, because I felt that there was a power in healing through horses. And I came up with the name Wild Souls Ranch because I feel that horses, just like, you know, quote unquote, troubled youth, that we have wild souls. And so I wanted to combine the two together. And it was a very, very hard first year. And anybody that in the nonprofit world can tell you that starting up a nonprofit from nothing is a challenge. And then to keep it running is also a challenge. But I would say that the first year was the hardest, but so far it's been well worth it. And we went from starting with like 6 children in our first month in May 2013, and now we're up to 30 children, and we're in our third year of running. And I started with 2 horses, and now we have 5 horses. A great volunteer staff and board of directors that really support the organization and keep our mission running and keep the good work that we're doing moving forward, and also so that we're able to grow for the community so we're able to serve more children.
Excellent. Yeah, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
And Nora, I just want to turn to you real quick. I had the opportunity to visit your really lovely Victorian house just a couple weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just was really blown away by all the work you've done on it. Can you tell me a little bit about your story?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It was fun having you over so you get to see it. It's typically booked, so it's kind of, I like to show off when friends come over. But yeah, thank you for having me here. And I thought we might speak a little bit about writing, but I'm actually excited to talk more about my Airbnb, because when it comes to, Savannah was saying, taking a plunge, that was more of a risk and kind of more putting myself out there. I moved to Humboldt County in 2012 also, and kind of quickly, relatively quickly found myself on my own. And so I was looking around for options, and I thought, heck, I'll look around at the real estate market and see what's out there. And my house was just a miracle house. It was the fourth one I looked at. I think it had been on the market 3 days, and it was just the only thing I could afford. And so now I have this Victorian 115-year-old home all to myself, which is still crazy. So yeah, it's been a lot of work that I haven't done anything about. I didn't know how to do anything really before I bought my house. So yeah, it's been a labor of love, and I've been really fortunate to able to have a really sweet one bedroom apartment on the top floor of my house, and just hosted, you know, honestly, I think I've probably had like 250 or 300 unique stays, different guests come stay with me over the past 3 years. And it's really a treat to show off Humboldt County in that way. You know, I just think it's paradise here. I love living here. If it's paradise, if you like boots and scarves and jackets like I do, it really is. You can be at the beach in 10 minutes and the redwoods in 15. And I love getting to share that with people who come here who might not always see the best of Humboldt as they're just passing through. I have a blend of both tourists and business travelers in my house, and they really tend to come here and find that it's quaint and charming and real, which are all the things I love about Humboldt and especially Eureka. So yeah, it's really been a pleasure. And also just, you know, with this taking the plunge, just the opportunity to get to work for yourself is one in a million.
Mm-hmm. Home ownership can feel out of reach to a lot of people, is my impression. So I think that many people would be surprised at how easy it can be if you're creative.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I tell people. I don't have any advice. I say get a good realtor and then believe in yourself that you don't limit yourself, because the opportunity might be out there.
Absolutely. And then turning to Pedro Lucero, you are on the verge of starting your own business. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Me and my partner, Jimmy Langdon, we're looking to open up a tabletop card game shop place somewhere here in the county. We're focusing probably on Fortuna because there isn't much competition over there. There's good there's good rental prices. There's a lot of good space. A lot of the places are owned by individual people instead of companies. And there's really nothing to do in Fortuna for young people that want to play games. But me and my best friend moved here, I think it's been 3 years now. I moved here for work, not trimming. Work, right? I moved here for
trimming is work.
trimming is work. That was the original plan when we moved here. We wanted to move here because, you know, one, the weather, right? Because I used to live in the valley and it was way too hot. But my friend who lived here got me a job at his job. Well, he told me he got me an interview and if I could meet it, obviously. And I did a great job because I'm very responsible. So, that's been the plan for 3 years, and it's only the last probably 6 months where we've been organizing and actually working on a business plan, which kind of leads you in all the directions of, you know, you need this, this, and this. How come you didn't think about that, that, and that? When you show it to other people, they give you all their naysayer questions or their positive input, so that also leads you more on the right path. So lately I've been working with the SBDC. You had got me in contact with somebody from the FBID, and we're looking for a place to rent currently. We could start pretty soon. It wouldn't really look nice right away. So, you know, we're trying to save it up a little bit more. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to – I don't hate my job. I don't love my job. But my job is good to me and pays me enough that in my free time I can start working on this for myself. But when I think about waking up at, like, 9 o'clock on a weekday – to go work at my game store, that sounds great. I could do that. That sounds wonderful.
And for our listeners, the SBDC is the Small Business Development Council?
Small Business Development Center.
And
FBID is a Fortuna Business something.
Improvement District.
It's the Improvement District. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hear that the SBDC is really helpful, and they have a lot of services that are free or low cost. Is that right?
So far, it's been all free, unless you want to do some of the workshops are $30 each. Those happen every week. But for one-on-one time, it's just you just have to call, go through some sort of interview. I saw the person today before I came over here, and it was just an hour of their idea is you don't know where you're at. They talk to you, figure out where you're at, give you a list of steps to get to the next thing, and then you go on. So it was very helpful when I can't really see the ladder right now, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went in, she showed me the next step, and it's great. So I have a list of homework that I don't want to do, but I'm going to do it. And that will take me to the next thing. It's very helpful, yeah.
Well, that's really cool, and I think it's neat. I'm glad I got the three of you all on air, because I think that all three of you are heading similar directions, just kind of in different fields, different kinds of businesses. But the one thing I noticed is that all three of you are from out of the area. Nora, is that right? You're mm-hmm. also from out of the area?
Mm-hmm.
So, and all of you seem to be attracted to Humboldt County, which is where I'm from. I happen to think it's the most beautiful place in the world, but some people feel differently. Is there something about this place where we live that you think makes it attractive to entrepreneurs?
I would say yes. Is that right? I'll jump in on that one.
Nora,
but
yeah.
I think absolutely. There's a very much an entrepreneurial spirit, because some of the trade-off of living here in Paradise is that there's not a lot of job opportunities and there's not a lot of easy career paths, and that can really be challenging for the area, because a lot of Humboldt State graduates and other people maybe who grow up here leave the area to pursue you know, whatever they're passionate about, or just more security and stability. So to stay here in Humboldt, a lot of times you have to think outside of the box and create your own path, and that's very much a part of the Humboldt lifestyle. And like you said, you know, the three of us are here, but it's like I know lots of other artists and musicians and small business owners who they have similar experiences, and they kind of hodgepodge things together and make it work, because that's sort of, yeah, that's what you do.
And I think everyone supports small businesses, and they support their local community as far as nonprofits go, too. That's what, I think that's why Wild Souls Ranch has been such a success, is because of the Humboldt County community. They came together, they believed in the dream as well. And it was also frightening, though, because Humboldt has 800 nonprofits, and I believe it keeps going up. So that's, you know, it's kind of competitive in the nonprofit world here. But so far, it's worked out great for my organization.
I think it's funny that both of your places are focusing on, like, you know, the beauty of the of the county, and all I'm trying to do is get all of my favorite nerds inside to not go hiking. You know what I mean? Like, we just want to play games. Right? It doesn't matter where it's at. But I like the weather.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer.
Well, people do need something to do during the, you know, 5+ months of rain.
Yes,
mm-hmm. So.
Definitely kids and teenagers. Yeah.
Got to find all those people that don't want to go hiking. Add me on Facebook, Pedro Lucero.
And really quickly, I wanted to talk a little bit about real estate. I know we touched on this earlier, Nora, when we were talking about your about buying your home. But mm-hmm. when it comes to commercial real estate, and I know you had like a special challenge, Savannah, mm-hmm. Humboldt County has a really compacted real estate market, and that's getting worse every year. It's getting mm-hmm. more expensive. So what all have you guys run into in terms of either buying or renting real estate here?
It's pretty hard to find land for livestock and at a decent price that we can afford. That's probably why we currently are renting space and we are not able to own our own space. And I know for a lot of nonprofits, you know, in order to get your own land or space, it has to be donated. So finding those people that, you know, own that property or that land and are willing to donate to that nonprofit. But land pricing here has been very challenging for us.
So is rental prices? And
Our boarding prices are pretty up there for our facility.
One of the reasons me and Jimmy are looking more into Fortuna is because it's just cheaper. There's an 1,100 square foot place for $750 a month, compared to there is one we were looking at in Arcata that was 600 feet for $1,000 a month.
Yeah, that's about how much we're paying for just a pasture. So sounds like the commercial side of it's a little bit cheaper.
And in terms of the residential housing market, I just bought a house this last year, and I think that the two of us, Nora, I know you bought your house 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think we probably lucked out, because it seems like those prices are going up as well.
Yeah, I feel like I did, and that's what I keep hearing lately, is how bad the housing crisis is here and how difficult it is for people to find affordable rentals and mm-hmm. for the university students. And I don't know how we can address that. I think that's a problem in most of California. As far as things being cost prohibitive, though, it's still one of the most affordable place to live on the California coast. So in terms of starting a small business and finding a reasonable rental in Old Town Eureka, or buying a home. I mean, I still think it's more accessible for people of our generation than other places. That's my impression.
Have you two ran into the problem of, since we're, you know, so much far north, having, like, places that aren't willing to deliver to you?
No, I don't have any kind of deliveries coming my way. It's just Amazon, they come.
For us, we have to order, like, you know, Magic the Gathering cards or Pokemon cards or board games from Fantasy Flight. And we're ending up having to get them through a middleman from a distributor. And there's only a couple distributors in the county. We can get the most popular distributors that are farther south. You can order from them, but your stuff will be a day later than everybody else. And then it's not competitive. So that's one of the things we're trying to figure out.
It's a redwood curtain problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just want to throw it out there to our listeners. You are listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. I'm Linda Stansberry, and tonight we're talking about entrepreneurship. We're talking about taking the plunge, starting your own business, starting your own nonprofit, becoming a freelancer, all of that good stuff. So if you're thinking about doing that at this point in your life, you should tune in and get advice from our awesome, awesome guest. The numbers to call in are 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. So sorry about that interruption, guys. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about this redwood curtain thing. So it can be really difficult to get things in and out of here. And, you know, speaking to all of you who come from places where there's maybe a little bit more nightlife, more everything else, do you find the isolation here daunting?
It was really hard when I first moved here. A lot of people told me, oh, it takes 2 years till it really feels like home, and I would say that's pretty accurate. I was trying to get away every weekend.
Get away to where?
Anywhere. Now it's so hard to even, you know, leave every 6 months with the organization. So
I just like being home. It's nice. I like my couch. I like my TV. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I do know that you. I do know that you make a special trip to your favorite taqueria every time you go home.
Oh right, yeah. If I go to the valley, should we talk about the quality of Mexican food in Humboldt County?
Oh man,
I think we might be getting a little off topic there. But yes,
I like to get back to your question. I do get out of town a lot, and that I think is the secret to living in Humboldt. If you can get away with it, that doesn't really go hand in hand with owning a small business, which is sort of what we're talking about. So I'm lucky enough to get to, I've had some help, found some good housekeepers, and I've been fortunate enough to have my mom come and run my vacation rental for a couple weeks at a time. I feel super lucky. She's just done a tip-top job. But a lot of small business owners can't get away, but it's like the trick to living in Humboldt, because there are so many great things here. But yeah, it gets dreary and quiet and it's rough sometimes. And so getting out of town and seeing friends and kind of going and connecting with that buzz that more urban places offer that Humboldt doesn't, and then you come back here and you're like, awesome, this is home.
Well, I want to circle back to that in a minute and talk about how hard it is to get away from a business when you own it. But we do have a caller on the line. It's Layla or Lila from Eureka. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It's Layla.
Hi, I'm Layla.
How are you?
Good.
I'm so glad you're having this show. I'm actually the new director of the Small Business Development Center.
Yeah.
And when I heard the show was coming up, my tail was wagging. So thank you for this.
Hi,
and I want to say hi to Pedro, because we just saw each other a few days ago.
Hello.
Hey. May I offer something?
Yes.
I just want to say that my observation is Humboldt County's entrepreneurial drive is extraordinary. So everything that your guests are saying is dead on. I have observed that a lot of people come here and find a way to stay by creating their own enterprise, whatever it happens to be. In fact, I was researching this recently, and 25% of all employed people are actually solo business owners, which is an amazing way to be resilient in an up and down economy and to just make a go of it yourself. And it's really, really hard to do, though. So I want to offer that. I hope that if anybody's listening and they're thinking of starting a business, or they've got a business and they're facing a challenge, do what Pedro did. Please come by to the Small Business Development Center in Eureka. We exist to make sure that you're not going through your challenges alone.
Yeah,
and
it's free.
One other thing that I've noticed is that people are really, really great at helping each other. So if you are a maker of a Humboldt source product, you should join Humboldt Made as well, because they help each other to get more successful. So hooray, Humboldt. I love this place, and I love the way that our economy works and is grounded locally.
Should we tell her that everybody was nodding?
Yeah.
All nodding and smiling.
Layla, I have a technical question for you, and for throwing this out for our listeners. So I know that more people, I understand that more people struck out on their own to start small businesses after the Affordable Care Act, because it made it more affordable to buy health insurance and not have to rely on an employer. Do you have people who have small businesses or own their own businesses that are concerned about potential changes to the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, and I will say that this is totally anecdotal and informal because it's early days yet. Mm-hmm. We have some businesses that are really struggling because one of the things that makes for good government policy is predictability and consistency. So all of these up and downs and changes back and forth make it really hard to plan what you're going to do. I've heard from, I actually picked up the phone and called one of our HR specialists saying, hey, what have you heard? What's going on here? And she said, well, you know, there were some businesses who had to reduce the number of hours they could offer people and had to reduce the number of people they could hire at full time, who may be considering then increasing those number of hours, but not with a sort of paired increase in benefits. So that has sort of a mixed benefit. And then there are businesses that thought that it was their honor and their duty and their responsibility to provide health insurance and other benefits for their employees because they wanted to keep them. They wanted to be able to recruit the best.
Yep.
And when the ACA was passed, they said, okay, well, this program is working for everybody. Let's just all go with the ACA from the CEO on down to everybody. And now they're not sure what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So again, we come back to consistency and predictability. And then let's go also to the 25% of people who are sole proprietorships. What I've been reading about what happens if we repeal and don't replace, or even repeal and replace, is that apparently premiums are likely to go up even faster than they had been under the ACA. Again, that's uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainty around this, but that means that people who could afford to be a solo business owner maybe will have to go out of business because their costs are skyrocketing. They've got to have health insurance for themselves and their family. So fundamentally, what we're observing is a lot of uncertainty. And there's enough uncertainty in doing business without this mess. So I'm really honestly worried on behalf of our clients. I hope that we all get through this well.
Well, thank you very much for your insight. And can you give people your website and your address if they're interested in using SBDC services?
Yeah, come on by. We have walk-ins all the time. So we are at northcoastsbdc.org. We're at 445-9720, area code 707. And we're at 520 E Street in Eureka. And we've also got a Crescent City office out of the College of the Redwoods campus up there. And we do travel. So, you know, if you are in an outlying area and are hoping to be able to go to a workshop or see an advisor one-on-one, let us know, and we'll see if we can't figure out a way to come to you if we need.
And
thank you for inviting me to offer that. Appreciate it.
Oh, we do have one question for you from Savannah.
Layla, I was just wondering, do you guys help with nonprofit startups, or is it only small business?
Oh, good question. So our mandate, because we're contracted by the Small Business Administration to help small businesses, is if we're going to work with a nonprofit, it has to be a nonprofit that is supporting the economic development of the area or supporting small businesses, like micro-enterprises, et cetera. However, the Humboldt Area Foundation has a sister or a spin-off organization called NORCAN.
Oh, yeah.
I believe stands for Northern California Network, a nonprofit network or something like that. And Amy Jester is fabulous about helping nonprofits get the help they need.
She helped me with my startup.
Yeah,
she's wonderful.
Excellent. Any more questions, guys?
No, thank you, Layla, for calling. You're
thank
awesome.
You.
It's been such a treat to have you in our area.
I am thrilled to be here, and I'm so thrilled you're doing this show, and congratulations to all three of you. I wish you all the success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Layla. Cool. So I wanted to double back to what we were talking about just a little earlier about some of the challenges of being a sole proprietor, as Layla was saying. You can get kind of married to your job from what I hear. I have a mm-hmm. I have a friend who owns a bookstore in Fortuna, and I know that mm-hmm. she really struggled to be able to take time off to, you know, have a life and keep mm-hmm. her business afloat. What do you guys find?
Well, for me and Jimmy, we're still going to have our day job until the first goal is to make $2,000 net profit every month. But until then, we're only going to be open outside of the hours that we aren't working. I'm not going to quit the day job right until that point. So it's just going to be busy all the time.
I had a day job for 2 years. I wasn't able to make Wadsworth Ranch my full-time job until this last June. And I'm still working like 68 hours a week. So it's a lot. And definitely when you have livestock, you cannot leave. Because feeding, medicating animals, they don't like when you take vacations.
You should ask your boss for some vacation.
Man, she won't let me. The kids are my boss. They won't let me.
Yeah, I think that's fairly common. I usually say that I feel like I either have 7 part-time jobs or no job at all times, because you're, you know, having to hoof it together. But I guess, Linda, you asked us a couple days ago to think about the challenges of taking the plunge and losing security, if you will, and going out on your own as a sole proprietor. And really what I was thinking about in coming here tonight is just how much you have to commit to working on your own and being okay with those kind of challenges and, you know, getting better at working independently and then kind of recreating the water cooler, so to speak, in some kind of way. So as much as I certainly have my own pity parties and feel, you know, cried into many gluten-free beers while I'm trying to rewire a light fixture lots of times. But at the same time, I have this amazing community of women. I have a really close friendship with my neighbor. You know, I bounce ideas off other writers like you. You know, I try and make those connections. And again, I think Humboldt's a place where that really supports that. And because a lot of other people are doing the same thing and they're like, oh, you know, you're trying to do this project, how can I help? And maybe they've had like a similar experience. So as lonely as it can be, and you have to sort of be prepared for that, to spend a lot of time married to your job, as you will, there's all kinds of ways to create little micro communities. And I think people are really supportive.
I feel bad. I have a partner. So like, all of my stuff's cut in half.
Everything must be so easy for you.
I'm so sorry.
The last time I came over to your guys' apartment, there's just magic cards everywhere.
Oh, it's great.
Apartment sounds so fun.
Is there a place that I can post pictures? I'll put a picture of the 110 different sets that I'm categorizing by color and alphabetical and set.
Isn't there kind of the flip side of that, though? Because you are going to be living and working and so happy and socializing with your best friend like all the time. Yeah. Like,
doesn't that sound great? That sounds great, right?
I think it does sound great. It's going to be awesome for the town of Fortuna. You know, we're talking about all these different jobs. I've been a part-time substitute teacher the last several years, and I go down I go down to Fortuna High all the time. Fortuna High is huge. It's a really big high school, and you drive through that little town, and you wouldn't think so, because half of Fortuna is, not half of it, but a lot of it is shuttered, and there's not a lot of livelihood. So to have this magic shop down there for the kids to get to walk over after school, that sounds awesome.
Fortuna isn't written in stone, but this is the place that I would like to go. Right. I guess we talked about this before, right? So in Fortuna so far, if you're a young person that likes games, I mean, your options are like going to, you can go play some arcade games at Funky Monkey, which is a pizza place. You can go to the movie theater, or you can go to the park, or you can do drugs. That's all there is. And we need another option.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
That'll be great. One thing is, if we're there, it won't be a monopoly per se, right? But if you're in Fortuna and you want magic cards or you want board games, we'll probably be the only place. So that'll be nice when we first start out. We'll have that, you know, like if you need our stuff, you have to come to us.
I feel like you're stacking the deck by putting your business right next to the Froyo shop.
No, that's don't tell people where I'm looking at.
I could easily turn your business into a nonprofit.
What?
No. I could.
But how do I quit my job?
Fundraisers, donation. We can talk about this.
Okay, sure.
Wow. A nonprofit magic shop. I don't know.
An after-school program for children that need something to do.
One of the hobby. One of the suggestions was, this is something I'll have. I used to play. I'm an old man. Okay, I used to play in a band a long time ago. Right, it was real cool. I still have my ears pierced. Right?
Later.
When you're in a band, you realize that if you wanted people at your show, you had to advertise, and you learn real quickly the easiest way to advertise is to find a sociable person at a high school, give them a huge pack of flyers, give them some sort of incentive, maybe like a free show or a t-shirt or something, and they will do all the hard work for you, right? So that's I want to do something similar. I don't feel like anybody's capitalizing on, like, the kids that come to the shops, if any of them are in high school, you know, offer them, like, maybe they'll get, I don't know, maybe a couple, like, free tournaments. Maybe they can get, like, if a new promo comes out, maybe they could get that in exchange. Just make sure that every time there's something going on, you know, they tell their friends, right? But I would really like to get, if I could get into, like, an event calendar at a high school, that would be great. That would be perfect. But got to talk to the principal and figure it out.
I just want to throw it out there to our listeners. You are listening to Thursday Night Talk. My name is Linda Stansberry. I'm here with my guests Pedro Lucero, Savannah McCarty, and Nora Mounts. And we are talking about going out on your own, starting your own business, becoming a freelancer, starting your own nonprofit, making it happen. The numbers to call in are 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. And so, guys, I want to talk a little bit about that feeling. You know, we're talking a little earlier about taking the plunge, like giving up security and actually going forward and doing the thing. How did that feel?
Oh,
Savannah.
Terrifying. I think there was just a roller coaster of emotions through the whole process. It's kind of like exciting, and then it's not exciting because it's, you're like, oh God, this is really happening. And then it's exciting again. And then, you know, you don't know if it's actually going to happen. It's kind of crazy. And then, but when it does happen, after all your hard work pays off, it is a pretty great feeling. But be prepared for a lot of emotions and a lot of caffeine. And if you drink, a lot of drinking.
And what was there anything like in particular about starting a nonprofit that you found challenging or surprising?
I had no education on nonprofit, and I had to research every little thing. I had no idea what I was getting into. To be honest, if I knew everything I was getting into, I probably wouldn't have made the plunge. The nonprofit industry, it's very difficult to keep, you know, you're relying on the community to keep you open. And you're relying on donations and fundraising and volunteers. And that's very hard to keep momentum going. And so I might have done a sole proprietorship if I had known about more of the struggles of nonprofit, but in the end, I'm thankful to be in this industry, and I've worked for Casa of Humboldt, and that gave me a lot of great experience. It's one of the biggest nonprofits in Humboldt County, working with the youth that I work with. But yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Well, you guys have been a big success, it seems.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It hasn't sunk in yet, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, and this is something that Nora and I were talking about recently, is when you're in uncharted water, you know, when you're punching your own time card and you're your own boss, like, how do you really know if you're succeeding? When does that really kick in?
Oh, it's you do a profit and loss paper. That's what I learned from SBDC today. And if the bottom line says plus, then yeah, you're doing good.
If you're still open, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a success.
If you got food in your mouth, you're doing okay.
Health insurance, maybe.
Yeah,
that would be.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, Nora, you and I are both, I used to be a freelance writer, and that's a part of what you do. And from what I remember of my few years relying entirely on freelance writing is it's very much like sink or swim. You always got to keep moving. And it can be, for me, it was really challenging to be self-disciplined. And I was always having to market and find, you know, more people to actually want to pay for my writing. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's like?
Sure, I will try. Yeah, I definitely don't have a lot of advice when it comes to the self-discipline, self-managing piece that just, yeah, continues to be a struggle every day. And there's a lot of common, it's like anything in life, it's the mainstream advice that really serves you the best. It's like, do the things, you know, have a routine, have a schedule, you know, dedicate time to writing, whatever it is you're doing, you know, at the same time every day, and kind of, you know, take care of yourself, nutritionally, get exercise, all those things. So sometimes it goes well and other times it doesn't. Kind of to connect what Savannah was saying, you know, you're asking about taking the plunge and about that kind of being the hard part. I don't think that's so much it. It's like this commitment to a life without security that is, you know, what's challenging. And so it's not so much that plunge that's hard, but that years later you're still, you know, kind of living day to day or paycheck to paycheck, you know, but then other times you're killing it. And that's pretty nice, you know? And I think I think a lot of humble businesses are similar. I do really well in the summer and it's great, you know, and it's like awesome. Yeah. And I'm like planning vacations and I'm working on my house. And then come March, I'm like running down to the bank with 20 bucks in my pocket so I can pay my mortgage. And it happens about every year. And, you know, so to say, to have advice for to how to prevent that, I don't know. I think that's kind of part and parcel of being out on your own and doing something that you're not doing for the money. You know, you're doing for the thrill.
Yeah. A lot of our friends, you know, they talk about their retirement and 401k, and I'm like, what's that?
As both my parents are teachers, so you can have the option, and they do regular school year, so they always get the summer off, right? They still do jobs on the side during the summer, but the payment options is you can either get your check while you're working, or they will split it up across the year for you. And my parents said that they used to not do the split up across the year, and they learned too many hard lessons. So now they let them decide, okay, you're going to get paid this much every month, whether you're working or not. That's interesting. Budgeting sucks.
Yeah,
I hate saving money. I hate it.
It's not as much fun as spending it.
I have so many fun tickets in my pocket that need to be used.
Yeah. But reminding yourself of the other type of rewards that you're getting, I think, is what is really the most helpful. I mean, you know, all this talk about scrimping and scraving. There's also, in my work, I guess, as a freelancer and as running a vacation rental, there's a lot of freedom. You know, I make my own schedule. I get to take off the weekend when I want. I get to, you know, go to yoga whenever I want. There's really a lot there. And that freedom is priceless. And even though it feels like a struggle, that's life in any, I think, line of work. And so I just try and remember that I have those trade-offs. And you have to remind yourself because you're getting paid in other ways, I suppose.
Are you two trying to get rich? Because I'm not trying to get rich. Like, all I care about is if I can afford my own home and go to the movies when I want. Like, that's really it. That's all I really care about. Yeah,
anybody in nonprofits, sometimes, definitely not in it to get rich.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Maybe rich in love.
I like that Humboldt County phrase. I love it.
Yeah, I remember being really inspired. This is Linda, by the way, because sometimes our voices sound alike. I remember being really inspired before I left my 9-to-5 and went into freelancing by Steve Jobs' speech.
Mm, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah?
When he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was 22, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, wow, I need to do something. I can't do the 8-to-5 anymore. What was the speech? Which quote was it that inspired you?
It was his commencement address. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said was, you know, stay passionate, stay hungry. I didn't know that he meant literally hungry, like
stay foolish.
Stay foolish. Yeah, stay foolish, stay hungry. And I found that really, really inspiring. And, you know, just talking about only having one life. But again, it can feel really sink or swim. And one of the things that I realized when I was freelancing is that I am not very good about being self-disciplined with my time. So, you know, now I'm lucky to get to work with an incredible team over at the Journal, and I have deadlines and I have people looking over my shoulder, and I still get to do what I love. So I feel really fortunate about that. But yeah, like you were saying, Nora, it could be challenging sometimes. There's risk and rewards to mm-hmm. that, being your own boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They still have time for cat videos sometimes, so it's okay.
Yes, I sent Pedro a lot of cat videos during the day.
It could be worse, right? Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. Not everybody has time for cat videos. Kids in Africa don't have time for cat videos.
Probably.
My office is currently my kitchen, so my dogs are my coworkers. They're my cat videos during the day.
Your dogs are humongous.
My dogs make it very hard to work during the day.
I think that's one of the under-acknowledged benefits of having your own business is you do get to bring your dogs into work if you want.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Or your horses.
Or your horses. Yeah. We do have a comment from Harvey. Michael's going to read it.
Yeah, thanks, Harvey, for calling. And he just wanted to know how you guys take care of your bookkeeping because he finds it can take a lot of time out of the day.
I'm not taking care of bookkeeping yet. That's something I'm looking into, so I got nothing.
I do my own taxes. They're not terribly easy, but I'm sure they get more complicated, and they're a pain in the butt, but I'm proud when they're done, and I don't dedicate a ton of time to it other than tax time and other than just record keeping. So, Harvey, good question, but I don't know. What about you, Savannah?
payroll and taxes. We have a nonprofit accountant handle that, and we also have a treasurer on our board of directors who takes care of the rest of it, the accounting.
Oh,
awesome.
Oh, nice. I do have something I have to say. What's the guy's first name? His last name is Stilson. I went to one of his workshops, and he said 3 times in a row very loudly, if you cannot afford a bookkeeper, you cannot afford to be in business. If you cannot afford, we just said it 3 times. And he recommended just paying somebody 4 times a year to come and make sure that you're still doing okay. And he think he said the average cost was like $500.
Who?
QuickBooks.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And I would also recommend hiring someone to do your taxes. Mm-hmm. I know my first year as a freelancer, I was unaware exactly how much money you have to set aside when
last
you're self-employed.
I got killed.
Yeah.
I'm still recovering.
So if you're thinking about becoming self-employed, it's roughly 1/3 of your income that you're going to put towards taxes.
That's so much. That's terrible.
It is terrible. I had a friend coach me and say, the way I got through it was I just looked at my local park and thought, I basically just paid for that park, and I like that park, so I guess I'm going to be okay with that.
There you nice. Go.
Yeah. Why does Uncle Sam hate freelance writers?
I wonder that myself.
That's an interesting question right now. What times we're living in. Feels that way.
I just want to throw it out again to our listeners. You are listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. The numbers to call in are 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. My name is Linda Stansberry, and I'm interviewing people about taking the plunge, going out on your own, starting your own business. And, guys, going back to this question about when do you pay for bookkeeping? When do you pay for help? Like, I think that the urge sometimes can be just like to scrimp and save every penny, you know, when you're trying to make it as your own business. But some things you do need an expert opinion on. So what's worth paying for?
Right. So bookkeeping, like we said, what was the other thing that we were looking into? I'm probably going to pay a lawyer for anything that I'm going to sign. Maybe even a lease. I might even talk to a lawyer just to see if the lease is okay. I think that's all we were going to pay for. Yeah, those are the 2 things for sure that we're going to pay for. I haven't looked into anything else yet.
When I started out, we didn't really pay for anything. Mm-hmm. We got time donated because we didn't have the money to pay for anything. But I would definitely suggest payroll, accounting, taxes, and a lawyer. Just to cover you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. A little different scenario, not having a business, but I would just say, I don't know, when you hit that wall of misery, it's time to call a professional. Mm-hmm. But I mean, really, the default is like you have to pay for as little as possible. Yeah. I just would say that's my operative, that I don't call for help until I'm desperate.
Yep. And you learn to do so many jobs yourself because you don't have that help. Yeah. So,
and as you grow, then I think you can figure out, you know, how you can triage that. So as you know, as your business gets better, oh, this is not worth my time. This can be expedited more by someone who is specifically good at that. And those are just, I think those are just business skills that you you learn as you go.
Yep.
And getting recommendations, I think, is great. So, you know, Pedro, Layla, when she called in, she talked a little bit about Humble Made, and you know, but it's just huge thinking about someone for you starting this business. And I'm involved with Humble Made, and Linda, I know you used to be. Mm-hmm. So they're such a cool organization. They're a nonprofit, and I basically think of them as a marketing and advocacy organization for humble businesses. And I really think it's cool because as I've traveled and talked to other people about it, I just don't think that's a similar business structure that exists in other areas, and it's really to just support people like you, Pedro, that have small businesses and to kind of like share collective knowledge. And so it's so cool. I've gone to I write stories about local businesses that are Humble Made members, and they'll like get together and they just have nothing to do with one another. Like somebody has a gluten-free bakery and someone else is a glass blower, and they sit around and they talk about exactly how they pay taxes and how they get distribution out of Humboldt County and how they get the right buyers and, you know, who they're going to order postcards from and all that kind of thing.
What do I have to do?
You have to join. You have to join
membership.
Humboldt Made.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You pay
sure.
a nominal membership fee depending on how big your business is. It might be huge the first year, but hopefully it'll be nominal or not cost prohibitive.
Okay.
And you join and you have this huge resource of all these awesome humble small businesses and a bunch of great people.
The office is nice. I've been there.
Yeah.
It has a mural or something. I had to pick you up there once. And I waited
that was their old office.
I waited for a very long time. But it was nice in there.
They're very important. Very busy.
No, I didn't wait for them. I was waiting for her.
Yes.
Well, Linda as well.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't just say very her in point. I'm sorry. Linda.
Yes. We are on radio, so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's important.
So huge plug for Humboldt Made. I would say from the outside of not really having started a business, that would be my number one recommendation is join. They're awesome, and they're a really valuable resource.
Okay.
So do you guys ever think about going back to the rat race?
I am
shaking your head, but we're on the radio.
I still have the rat race. What are we talking about?
I'm shaking my
head.
You
literally have the rat race.
Yes, I do.
Because
pest control, right? Wait, I should say I stopped the races.
You stopped the rat race.
Yes, I do.
If you have rats racing in your house, Pedro can take care of them.
Well, so this is the first time in my life.
I have some in my barn. Do you want some?
I can give you my card. Do you want a card? Okay.
Can you do it for free?
No, I can't do it for free. Sorry.
I can get you a cat that'll do it for free.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
But the cat's going to cost food. I'm doing a business plan. I know.
No.
But this is the first job that I've had in my entire life. That's Monday through Friday, paid vacations. I actually make a decent amount. I can ask for days off. I wasn't getting that at Starbucks or Blockbuster or, let's see, who else can I say I hate? Game Crazy. I'm not really looking forward to the actual quitting because everybody at my job is great. When we were talking about kind of like the risks, right? Mm-hmm. In my specific situation, I know that my company loves me and that if I really wanted to come back, they would take me. So I don't have as much risk as other people, but it'd be nice not to work there anymore.
Yeah, there was a lot of... It was really hard for me to leave my day job and do Wild Souls Ranch full-time. Because it just meant letting go of that security net. And that was really hard for me. But it paid off in the end because my board of directors told me, my staff, my volunteer staff all told me, as soon as you free up that time, that 40 hours a week that you are designating to another nonprofit, Wild Souls Ranch is going to grow, you know, exponentially. And it did within the next month. And so it's just a matter of taking that huge kind of leap of faith in yourself in, just being brave. And if it doesn't work, you can always go back to getting a day job.
Or live at your mom's house.
No, I don't have that option.
It's a fine option. What's wrong with that? It's fine.
Of course, you're the only paid employee on your staff, too. So if you guys are not in the black one month, then you're the one who's
not
taking
paid.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must be hard.
It is hard because, like I said, we rely on the community to keep us open and donations and a successful fundraising event. And if it isn't, then that's when we have to come together and say, oh, you're not getting paid this month. Mm-hmm. So it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But I think that the work in the nonprofit industry, the work that you do is usually to better the community. You want to make a mark in the world. You want to change people's lives. And it's worth it. It's, you know, the 80 hours a week, no health benefits, no vacation, especially working with children. It really does pay off when you see changes in their lives. And who knows what those kids are going to do. Maybe they'll start a nonprofit, or maybe they will cure cancer. So you never know what's going to happen.
Or be the next president.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a nice thought.
Yeah.
And what about you, Nora? Any temptation to go back to the workaday life?
Temptation, yes, but plans, no. Definitely not. It's like the dark side. Yeah, I feel like I do think about that a lot, and I'm sure family and friends of mine would say differently, because I definitely talk about, you know, it's like when I'm having an off day, I think, oh, maybe I'll waste some time looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And that's what it usually turns to be, because I don't think my heart's in it, because I like what I'm doing. You know, on a good day or an okay day, or a great day, I'm like so lucky to get to be able to be a writer and get to be able to work for myself and do something that's fun. And it's, you know, I'm not helping anything out. I'm not giving back to the youth like you guys are with your awesome jobs, but I'm certainly not hurting anything either. It's kind of a nice, charming, simple life. And when you were talking, Savannah, what I was thinking about, you know, if people are thinking about whatever their dream is, so whether it's a nonprofit or their business, mm-hmm. Thinking about having that freedom to not have anyone depending on you, and that doesn't always last forever. And so mm-hmm. that's a big part of it, right. Whether you're the one suffering the consequences. So, like, for me, it's okay if, you know, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not buying any toothpaste this month and we're eating toast because it's just me,
right.
You know?
Right.
And a lot of people don't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so to remind yourself that that's a privilege, mm-hmm. to not be, you know, I'm dragging someone else through this, whether that's children, of course, or you know, a partner or something else like that. And if you're kind of finding yourself in that place in life, then go for it by all means. So yeah, no, I was emailing with Layla today about a new nonprofit that I'm looking at starting with a couple other women, super awesome, distinguished, smart writer women in Humboldt. So I'm really excited about that. So yeah. That's where my energy is right now. And yeah, I'm sure it won't pay well.
We were talking a little earlier about how it can be challenging to bring another person or bring a family into a life where you're so dedicated to something. And all four of us are kind of in the same boat. We're all single. None of us have kids. Like, and that can be kind of a boon to this lifestyle that we've chosen.
Yeah, but it's kind of a personal sacrifice, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Do you think making a business is a romantic suicide?
The first five years, definitely.
Could be a whole other show.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about this for another hour.
Should we see if I can get the slot for Valentine's Day?
Oh, man.
Lonely Hearts of Humboldt, please call in. I think more than anything else, it might be tough to explain to people, like, why you can't budget time for a social life sometimes.
Yeah.
I totally can. It's fun.
I do too. I don't know. I'm with you actually, because I work on my own so much. It's pretty important. I think that social life is key to mental health. But
dang, my social life is with the horses. That's pretty much it. Or my staff, or kids.
There's one of the YouTube channels that I follow is called Car Shop Life. Right. Mm-hmm. All they do is just film what they do at work. You should just film what you do at work, and then that'll create like a you know, a virtual social structure. People you could talk to. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to talk to internet people. I understand.
I'm just trying to think if internet people would be wanting to watch horses.
Car shop life is not exciting. It is, okay. There is no peril. There's like 15 minutes of just people messing around, but people want to see it. I had a friend explain to me, because she doesn't watch regular TV. She just watches YouTube channel stuff, and usually she watches people that are just living the regular life. Mm-hmm. And she said, how does she word it? I don't want to mess it up.
Sounds a little creepy.
No. It's very sweet. It's very sweet. She said, like, you know, sometimes I'm feeling down in my life, and I just want to enjoy theirs for a little while.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and people love horses. They'll watch this for horses.
Your mention of card shop life and socializing makes me want to ask you to tell the anecdote about that card shop you visited that had the personal hygiene project.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that too. All right, uh-huh. So there's a place in Santa Rosa, right? Mm-hmm. And one problem is with, you know, like, a lot of people that play games aren't the most social people, and some of them aren't, are still kind of, maybe they might have personal problems with hygiene or something, right? And it's really, it's a rough area to kind of confront somebody. And their fix is so simple. All they did was in the bathroom, they had a sign that said, these are for everyone. And there was a spray on deodorant, there was a stick deodorant, and there was some sort of cologne. And that's it. They didn't have to actually have that talk with any of the people that were there, because it's really sad to be somewhere and there's that one stinky person and nobody wants to talk to them. But that bathroom situation just fixes it. It takes care of it for them. But as an owner, if somebody else comes and complains to you, hey, I really want to play here, but this guy is, you have to take care of it.
Yeah,
I'll do that. I don't mind.
That's very nice.
And I have 13 years of customer service. I can tell them in the nicest way.
I think that people should hire Pedro part-time to kick stinky people out of their
houses. No, you don't kick them out.
In the nicest way possible.
As well as the rats.
Get the rats too.
Well, dead rats smell terrible. I'm not going to miss that.
So I wanted that anecdote as we ended, besides the fact that I find it funny still, is that I think it kind of speaks to how when you're starting a business, knowing your customer base and being passionate about what you're talking about, knowing all of those little ins and outs is can be really rewarding and really important to actually having a successful business.
Could I ask a question of the listeners?
Sure.
So part of the SBDC, you know, we're trying to, they give you the things that you need to do, and I need to collect data because I have no idea how many actual players there are in the county. Mm-hmm. If you are a Magic the Gathering player or a Pokemon player or a tabletop board game player and you'd be interested in going to a new place, if you could just simply message me on Facebook, Pedro Lucero, just I like, and then whatever you play, that would be great. That would give me a good... just a good idea, because I have no idea right now. I know the people that I play with. I know those people that are interested, but I don't know everybody in the county.
Excellent. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. So anyone who's interested in that, please send Pedro a message, Pedro Lucero. And then Savannah McCarty, your work can be found, anyone who just types Wild Souls Ranch into Google. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Nora Mounts, you can also find her writing in the Insider magazine. She is a very talented writer. Nora, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
And thank you so much to all of our listeners and everyone who called in. And I will talk to you all out there in Radio Land again soon.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Thank you to our host, Linda Stansberry, and our guests, Nora Mounts, Pedro Lucero, and Savannah McCarty. We love to get feedback on our programs. Please email ThursdayNightTalk@khsu.org and like our Facebook page, Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Coming up next week on Thursday Night Talk, Eric Kirk and Chuck Rogers discuss executive orders, judicial nominees, conflicts of interest, presidential tweets, women's marches, airport protests, and whatever news will break over the next week. Join the conversation January 9th, beginning at 7. Thank you to KHSU Thursday Night Talk producer Geraldine Goldberg. Our theme music is composed and performed by Jeff Kreider. My name is Michael. I've been your studio engineer tonight. Stay tuned to KHSU. No Room for Squares is coming up next. It's 8 o'clock.
Tune in to the KHSU Magazine, KHSU's midday public affairs program. Although the name has changed, the connection to the community remains. The KHSU Magazine airs Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. with hosts Katie Whiteside, Lorna Bryant, and Danielle Orr. If you have an idea for a show topic, call 826-6074.
Donors to KHSU include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Also, same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 34 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue, next to Lehman's Pharmacy in Eureka. Learn more at sixriversoptical.com. Donors to KHSU also include Maya Conrad, a full-service real estate professional with over 10 years' experience connecting people to place on the North Coast. Maya can assist with your real estate needs, including market analysis and property showings. She can be reached at mayatconrad.com. Broadcasting from Humboldt State University since 1960, this is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville.